fucking cold outside. The guy on the radio said it's gonna get down to 34. It's 34. That's freezing, for Christ's sakes. Yo, Chili, were you spacing?
They're closing down the Granville. You know that theater down in Biscayne?
Yeah, the guy owes Momo a couple G's.
I know. I was thinking maybe Momo should buy it. I could run it for him, show some old Cagney movies.
Hey, what's Momo gonna want with some broken down theater that shows movies no one wants to see anymore? Outside of maybe turning it into some kind of porno house, not gonna give much of a fuck.
I'm gonna go talk to this Chili kid.
Besides, you already got a job.
Yeah.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Yeah, good, you?
Okay. Hey, can you believe this weather? Miami Beach, for Christ's sakes.
Chili Palmer. It's chilly outside. And it's chilly inside. It's a regular fucking chili fest.
How you doing, Ray?
And, well, obviously much better than you, Chili.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, when you're done staring out the window, I'll meet you back at the office.
Hey, where's my coat?
It's not one of these?
Well, do you see a black leather jacket, fingertip length, like the one Pacino wore in Serpico? Because if you don't, you owe me $379.
Well, maybe you didn't see the sign.
I seen the sign, but I didn't come to sunny Florida to freeze my ass off. You got that? So you either find my coat, or you give me the $379 that my ex-wife paid for it at Alexander's.
Rino, vieni qui, puoi spiegare a questo signore, il signor Barboni, si è prestato il
coat solamente. Ray Bones took my coat?
No, no, he didn't take it. He borrowed it, because see, somebody took his coat. So Mr. Barboni tried this other coat, and it fit him pretty good.
That was my coat.
He was wearing it to go home, but he's not going to keep it.
No. My car keys are in that coat.
Mr. Barboni is a good customer. You know, he works for Jimmy Cab.
I know who he works for. Where's your phone?
This way.
Are you sure it was Ray Bones who took the coat?
That's what the man said.
Hey, tomorrow I see on the TV weather it's gonna be nice and warm. You don't need the coat.
This is it.
Hey, Chili, get the coat. Just don't piss the guy off, okay? And we're gonna have to call Momo and straighten the whole thing out. And Momo's gonna be pissed off for wasting his time, but we don't need that, huh?
Don't worry. I'm not gonna say any more than I have to, if that.
What do you want me to do, Ray? Go to war over a fucking coat? You're lucky the guy didn't kill you. The coat was a Christmas present, for Christ's sakes.
Now listen to me, Jimmy. You gotta do something about this guy. I mean, he's running like a buck. And he's got no fucking respect for none of us.
He's got no respect for you. And I don't gotta do shit. Chili Palmer don't work for me. He works for Momo up in Brooklyn. So as long as Momo's around, nothing happens to Chili Palmer. Do you understand? Over here.
We're here, Momo.
Well, I hope you guys check this place out good, because I'm going in there alone, and I don't want no fucking surprises.
Oh, yeah, I checked everything, Momo.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you trying to say? You're never gonna sleep again?
No, I said I'm never going to bed. See, there's a difference. See, this article says that most people die in their beds. I figure as long as I stay out of bed, I'm safe.
What? It's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Where are you gonna sleep?
In my recliner. You know, the tan one in the TV room. Or I'll go to the coffee shop, slide into a booth, pull my hat down. Hey, how many people you know died in a coffee shop?
Cut straight hair and hair, just fags.
Hey, Bones, that's quite a scar you got in your head. Why don't you have these guys fit you for a rug, cover it up for you?
You two geezers take your Gabe to the park.
This man is the man. You understand what I'm saying, motherfucker? He's Mr. Bones, and you speak to Mr. Bones from now on.
Come on, you can do better than him, can't you?
Not these days, not unless you speak Spanish.
You got a miss, Leo DeVoe, 6 weeks over.
He's dead.
How do you know he's dead? Did he tell you?
Yeah, he told me that he was dead.
Personally?
Yeah, Ray, he personally told me that he got killed in that getaway jet crash that happened a month ago.
Well, maybe he took out some flight insurance. Go check with his wife.
You check it out. It's your book now. He owns some dry cleaning store over on Federal Highway.
Let me explain something to you. Bobo is dead, which means that everything he had now belongs to Jimmy Capp, including you, which also means that when I speak for Jimmy. E.g., from now on, you start showing me the proper fucking respect.
E.g. means for example. What I think you want to say is I.E.
Bullshit. It's short for ergo.
Ask your man.
To best of my knowledge, E.g. means for example.
E.g. I.E. Fuck you. The point is this, is that when I say jump, you say okay, okay?
Yeah, right. Okay.
All right. Now, you owe me the dry cleaners 15 G's plus the juice, which is another...
$2,700.
Now, you either get it from his wife or out of your own pocket. I don't give a fuck, but you never hand me a book with a miss.
We'll see you, Ray.
Go see the dry cleaner's wife. You get 3 days.
I told you not to piss him off that time. You remember
don't say another fucking word, all right?
I'll tell you one thing, Robin. That lesbian kiss probably scored major points with our first judge.
Well, you're right. She's a singer just out of Nashville, a lesbian just out of the closet. It's talented Janice Ian.
Janice Ian, the lovely and beautiful. I love her. Janice, we're going to be singing a little bit later on, and I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to do the Jerry Seinfeld Memorial Tribute Song.
We're
going to
fuck with Jerry's head tonight, baby. Robin, who do we have next here?
America may recognize our next judge from his appearances on the Jerry Lewis Telethon. Please welcome Doug Beatty.
The beautiful Doug Beatty.
How you doing?
Doug, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How was it working with Jerry Lewis?
Jerry Lewis can kiss my crippled ass, Howard. Fuck him. That asshole. He's been doing this goddamn telethon now for like 30 fucking years. I haven't seen dime one. Nothing.
It's an angry man, Robin. Who do we have here, Robin?
My favorite judge, Howard, the KKK guy, Daniel Carver.
Daniel Carver, everybody. He's a star. Daniel, quick question. Do you have a New Year's resolution or a message for the people of America as we start 1994?
Yeah, I'd like to say, wake up, white people. People, the Bible tells us that if we don't obey God's laws, statutes, and judgments, that he would send wild beasts to rob us of our children and make us few in number. We have not obeyed God's laws, statutes, and judgments, and he has sent the beast. The beast that he has sent is that wild, filthy, stinking, savage jungle animal, the nigger.
All right, Daniel.
He's got wool on top of his head instead of hair.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. A lot of hate in the room. Daniel, thank you.
The message isn't going over that well, Daniel.
Yeah, I'm surprised, Daniel. The message, a lot of white people, but the message didn't go over too well. We got to keep plugging along. Don't worry, relax. We'll get to you later. Who's next, Robin?
He tiptoed right through the tulips and into our judges panel. It's Mr. Tiny Tim.
By the way, Robin, Tiny Tim, of course, is still working all the time. And if you want to book him, here's his phone number. What is your number, Tiny?
Thank you so much, Mr. Stern. It's a pleasure being on your show.
It is so great having you here, I must tell you.
Thank you.
And a little song for some of the girls in the pageant. Do you have something prepared for us, Tiny?
Right here.
Go ahead.
The girls all love him. They're mad about him. That man named Howard Stern. They're not so about him. They're crazy about him. But he's true to his wife. You bet your life. That man named Howard Stern.
A real crowd pleaser, Tiny Tim. Robin, look who's here.
Howard, let's give a big pageant greeting to the former heavyweight champion of the world, Smokin' Joe Frazier.
All right, Joe. He's great. Now, Joe, I know you lost to Muhammad Ali, but aren't you glad that Muhammad Ali had his brains beat out of his head and not you?
Forget about Muhammad. I want the cross and some gloves. I want my man to bring the cross, and I'll bring the gloves. Let's see what catch a fire first.
Oh, there you go. A challenge to Daniel Carver from Smokin' Joe Frazier. Very, very touchy tonight. And Robin, who do we have here?
From the desert planet of Tatooine, it's the Jedi Master himself, and now the voice of the Joker on the Batman cartoon, Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, the great Mark Hamill. Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw that bitch, Carrie Fisher?
Really? I just saw Carrie last week. I think.
Fuck Carrie Fisher on an Arsenio Hall rerun.
I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that when you saw her? Oh, isn't she nice
and pleasant?
Robin, who's next?
Everyone will recognize our next judge is George Jefferson. It's Sherman Hemsley.
The great Sherman Hemsley. Sherman. Sherman, which was a worse day in your life? The day they canceled the Jeffersons or the day they booked you on this show?
I don't know. I lost Wheezy both times, Howard.
Yeah, I know. Who's next?
Our next judge is not retarded, Howard. He only talks that way. It's Fred the Elephant Boy.
Fred the Elephant Boy. There he is. He's tongue-tied. I think he is retarded, Robin.
No.
Elephant Boy, can you believe you're sitting among such great celebrities as this?
I am flabbergasted. Maybe I want to meet the square stars of Hollywood, TV, and movie. This is our Lollapalooza.
Whatever. The fuck is he talking about? Hey, fuck you. Fuck you.
That
fuck
was so
you.
Clear.
And look at Sherman Hemsley laughing, Sherman. I don't want you laughing because he happens to be Norman Lear's nephew, so you don't even know it. Robin, who's next?
Our final judge, Howard, a man 20 stitches away from oblivion, John Wayne Bobbitt.
The great John Wayne Bobbitt. John Wayne Bobbitt, of course. John Wayne Bobbitt, of course, had a terrible situation. He's the guy, of course, whose wife cut off his schween. John, I'm glad you could come.
Oh, I can't, Howard.
That's true.
He can't talk either.
He can't talk and he can't come. I'm sorry about that.
What a terrible condition.
You're not kidding, Robin. You know, it's almost like me. John, seriously, what happened to you is horrible, and that's why we're raising money for you tonight. And to help everyone at home understand how close this guy came to spending his entire life without his fuck stick, I'm talking about his cock, I want you to take a look at the John Wayne Bobbitt story. John Wayne Bobbitt's wife, while he was asleep, took a knife, put it to the base of his penis, and cut. His penis was cut in half. His wife took this portion of his penis, ran out the door with it, and left him with this. She ran to her car, opening the door with her left hand, the same hand that was holding the penis. Lorena drove off. She then noticed that she was still holding on to John Bobbitt's bloody penis, so she threw it out the car window into an abandoned lot like an old empty beer can. Just imagine what could have happened.
They go hunting for your penis.
It was in a field across from a 7-Eleven, like a grassy field.
All right, Joe, you want to look over this way? Tom, we'll check down this way.
It's a million to one shot that they found this.
I found it. It's over here.
What did he do?
Put it in one of those big bite hot dog boxes.
With not a moment to spare, the precious cargo was rushed to the hospital.
I thought I was going to die the whole time on the way to the hospital. But when I got to the hospital, I was like, well, what kind of life am I going to have, you know, without a penis?
It was the first time in the history of Prince William Hospital that a man and his cock arrived in two separate cars. John Bobbitt spent a grueling 9.5 hours in surgery as Dr. Berman painstakingly reattached his penis.
Essentially, what had happened is he'd been cut off right near the base of the penis, and it's actually quite tricky finding little blood vessels and nerves. You know, we did the operation, as people know, it was successful. So it's important that for people to be aware that even though we're optimistic, it's no way a guarantee that he won't have problems.
I'm going through like a rejuvenating process, and that hurts because the nerves are real sensitive and I'm having like pins and needles.
And what about the nurse who would actually come in and rub your penis to get stimulation going in that area? That had to be somewhat unusual.
Yeah.
But miraculously, within 6 days, John Wayne Bobbitt was able to urinate.
Imagine if this was your penis and your wife ran out the door with it. And that's what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to imagine, and we're asking you to call that 1-800 number right now on your screen.
Please call and send your support.
A penis is a terrible thing to waste.
Horrible story. Horrible story, Robin. Now, John Wayne is sitting by his phones. What else can he do? You can't play with yourself. He's waiting for your call, and this is very serious. 1-800-942-3377. And what do they get if they call in and pledge, John Wayne?
Well, they get a severed part t-shirt. It's a $25 donation.
Hey, John, how many times did we rehearse this? You think you could get the words out of it? I'm just kidding with you. What do you get? A John Wayne Bobbitt t-shirt, severed parts. As a matter of fact, I can see that severed parts t-shirt on our beautiful model back there. It's actually quite nice. And you can help a guy out. And by the way, as the pledges come in, they'll be recorded on our penis tote board, as you can see. Whoa! Easy, easy. So let's get those calls coming in and make that split pecker whole again. Let's do it for John Wayne Bobbitt. Give him a break and help him with his medical experience, medical expenses. Thank you.
You know?
We'll be right back.
beach and the perfect waves are starting to come. His hair is flying out and ribbons of gold, and his touch, he's got the power to stun. I got a dream about an angel in the forest, enchanted by the edge of a lake. His body's glowing in the jewel.
Hold on. Thought I heard something.
What?
I don't know. I just thought...
Supplies!
Put your bear!
Take it down. When the dawn patrol got to tell you twice, they don't
my ship comes in, I live night by night.
and only champion of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome with me. This is Steve.
What an ovation for the heavyweight champion of the world. Thousands upon thousands on their feet cheering the champion.
I tell you what, Stinger, you can hear, not only here in Jacksonville, but all across the country, TBS, they're red hot. You, I know, are prepared for tonight, face-to-face with the Black Scorpion.
I am, Tony Schiavone, we're talking face-to-face, just like you and me, Stinger against the Black Scorpion. Finally, once and for all, we get it set up just the way we want it to be.
And that is on the Danger Zone right here this evening on TBS.
Pauly Dangerous, he's not one of my favorite people, but you know, he set this thing up, so let's go for it on national TV.
All right, the Stinger, prepared for later on right here on national TV. And fans will have more on TBS right after that. Don't you dare go away.
Sting.
What in the world?
Wait a second.
Sting. Yeah. Change into the key.